If you happen to have a bulletin this morning, I've been putting the outlines to the sermons in there so you can follow along, take notes if you like. We are going to start with Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25. No doubt you've heard many sermons on this particular passage, many of you have. So let us look at this passage this morning, and we'll start here. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are entering kind of an exciting new era in the church today. Most churches these days now, this past year, with the events of this past year, were forced to learn how to live stream their worship services in some way. It was an amazing thing. Many people, including us, are finding that there are still great benefits to continuing to do so, as I'm sure those of you who are watching on here now can attest. Before we did this, it was because there was that pandemic, right? It's still out there, still affecting a lot of people, and so we should pray for many of those that it is affecting. But it's still something that we're doing, we're continuing to do with this live stream. We had canceled in-person services for a few months because of it. And of course, the only way in which we could communicate with one another was remotely. And the only way we could commune in this kind of way was through online means. Of course, live stream, a lot of people used Zoom using some other kind of remote ways in order to do this. The reason why we're continuing it is because there are many who are unable to get out. There are many who are unable to get out and worship with us in person, particularly our shut-ins and those who are not local, those who are we happen to get a lot of people a few people anyway, who are not local, who've started to tune in with our worship services and things of that nature, and that's fantastic. They're hearing the gospel, and they're hearing they're able to worship in some capacity with people, and that's a good thing. It may be the best option for these people to worship or even, again, to hear the gospel of Christ. It can also help people get familiar with us before attending with us. There may be people who are watching this or who will be watching this who have never attended with us and are like, well, I've heard about this church and I'm curious about what it's like before I go and to see what the people are like, what the preaching is like, what the worship services are like. And so that has that element of that outreach as well. And so that's a wonderful thing. That's a great thing. Because a lot of people don't want to be blindsided when they first come to a worship service and they first attend. But there is a downside to having our worship services online. And I'd like to talk about that today. The title of the lesson, Live Stream Worship Should Not Be Plan A. Live stream worship should not be Plan A. And of course, many of you here have been with us every time the doors are open, and man, that's fantastic. This is to encourage you as much as it is to encourage those who are not here. How many people choose to live stream our worship when they could be here in person? How many choose to do that when they could be here in person? You know, this lesson, again, is for those who are here as an encouragement to keep coming. But it's also for those who are watching online who can be here but choose not to be. As I said, there are plenty of people who don't really have much of a choice, right? They are not able to leave their house for whatever reason, typically health reasons and things of that nature. And, you know, we're not talking about that situation somehow prevented from coming. We're talking about people who choose not to come, who prefer the live stream worship. One reason why we keep doing these live stream worship services, live streaming them, is for those who can't make it out, for our shut-ins and those who aren't local. That's why we keep it up. Now, I can't make health decisions for you and your family. I can't do that. I'm not qualified in any way to do that. And if you're not coming for that reason, for health reasons, man, I totally understand. But there comes a point when risk is acceptable. When risk is acceptable, the health concerns are minimal, about as they were before the pandemic. And that's kind of how I feel like we are now. Now, of course, that's my opinion on that. Maybe you have a different opinion on that. But I think we're about that same level, especially if you've had that vaccination, the vaccine for COVID-19. I think we're at about that level where it was about the same risk as it was before the pandemic. And you must ask yourself, why am I not there, really? What's the real reason that I'm not there? Am I just fooling myself, trying to justify my actions with specious reasoning? Or are my concerns legitimate? With how many are vaccinated and how effective it has proven to be, I wonder. The virus isn't going to disappear. It just isn't. It's going to be here for a while. So at what point are people going to come back to worship again? What is that point in which they will come back to worship again? Or maybe the reason you're not coming is not health related at all. Maybe your attitude is, it doesn't matter if we're there in person or not. There's always that live stream that we can watch. And that's the concern that many of us have had when we first started this. If we continue this, will there be people who say, it doesn't matter if I'm there in person. There's always a live stream. I can watch that later. There's always that concern. And we had that concern starting this. And it's a concern that needs to be addressed now that, especially that we've resumed in-person services. The problem with it is that that's making the live stream plan A, when it shouldn't be, should it? The live stream needs to be plan B. Plan B. The live stream is a great option for those who need it. For those who need it. But how many of us actually, legitimately, truly need it? With all that, I want to discuss this morning the benefits of worshiping in person and to encourage people and to encourage, again, the point of this lesson is to encourage people to come and to worship with us. If you're just watching on the live stream, for people who are here to continue worshiping with us. That's the point of this lesson, so that we can do that. So we're going to look at the one another passages, several one another passages in Scripture. There's no way we can cover them all in a sermon. But we're going to look at these in a single sermon. But we're going to look at these and try to understand what these are so that we can understand what our responsibilities are to one another when we come together for worship. You know, we talked about some of these about a year ago, almost a year ago, 51 weeks ago. Can you imagine it was that long ago that we had still had canceled our services? We were still doing everything online. We talked about what we miss and when we aren't together to worship. We also talked about that present distress that was the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, as I said earlier, that present distress isn't quite as present as it once was. Now, as I said, it's not going anywhere. And I feel, especially if you've been vaccinated, that the threat level is about the same as it was before the pandemic, before March of last year. Well, that present distress is passing us by. And as we resume regular functions of the church, well, even fellowship meals we plan to have hopefully next month, it's time to come back. It's time to come back. The thing we miss most of all is the aspect of interaction with one another. That interaction with one another. Well, I don't like interacting with people. Well, The Bible has something to say about that. So this morning, we're going to, again, look at these one another passages. We're going to look at four distinct things that the Bible says we need to do when we come together. First, teach one another. We're going to teach one another. We teach one another when we're here. Second, bear one another's burdens. Third, serve one another. And fourth, love one another. Now, for all of these, I could probably have a whole sermon on it because there's just so much material there on these one another passages. I could probably have a whole series of sermons on love one another. There's just so much there. So this is going to be kind of a brief look at all of these things. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, just a few pages over from where we're at. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Now, the first one is teaching one another. Teaching one another. Let's look at this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the question here is this a one another passage? Well, the word, that Greek word allelos, which means one another, it is not present here. But the question is, can we teach one another if we're not present with one another? This one specifically is talking about different kinds of teachers in the church. Bible class teachers, worship teachers in some way. Some kind of teacher, someone who is teaching someone else. Now, how difficult was it for those who might have been doing online schooling? How difficult was it for you to be taught in that environment? Was that tough? Were you able to learn very easily as well as you were in person? Katie's nodding her head. Yeah, I was. Not everyone is you, Katie. For a lot of kids, especially the younger kids, trying to listen to a screen of your teacher trying to tell you about different things and about how to read and about different, all sorts of other, man, it's difficult. It's difficult to learn how to do the, how can you do a physics lab when you can't be in a lab environment? How can you do a chemistry lab? There are some chemistry things you can do around the house, but how can you do that sort of thing with, how can you dissect a starfish at your home? That's something I did when I was in high school. How can you do, you can't do those. So teaching in that environment is very difficult. We can do that sort of thing online, but it's very difficult to do that. It's so much easier and so much more beneficial to teach one another in person. So much easier, so much more beneficial to do that. And so we ought to be teachers. Now, of course, we always need teachers. And so if you are interested in being a teacher, if you haven't done that already, man, I encourage you to do so. We always need more teachers. But you know what? What if I'm not ready to be a teacher? What if I'm not good at that sort of thing? I can't teach kids. Man, I have no experience at that. Well, you can first get experience. But second, up until that point, what if you can't do that? Well, let's turn to Colossians 3 and verse 16. Again, a lot of these passages many of us are very familiar with. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. There it is. That Greek word, allelos, one another. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What is worship meant to do? I have on here that there are four things worship is meant to do in the outline here. Four things that worship is meant to do, and two of them are mentioned here. you know, these two are kind of related to one another, but they are to teach and to admonish one another. Did you know those of you who are here this morning are teachers? You admonished one another with the songs that we sang together. Yes, there was a leader, but he wasn't the only one singing, was he? We all, at least hopefully, ideally, we all were singing. We all were teaching one another, admonishing one another. Man, and even Rick mentioned the song, one of the songs during when he did the Lord's Supper, that we are not on sinking sand. Christ the solid rock. Christ that solid rock. How wonderful is that? And we admonish one another with these things. We teach one another about these things. It is well with my soul. More about Jesus I would know. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Did you know that? We sang about it just now. Well, the question, well, what is Calvary? Well, we'll sit down and have a talk about that if you don't know what Calvary is. Or how burdens are lifted up. We can do that. We teach and admonish one another through our singing. How hard was that to do that online? I mean, it was so difficult. There was that time. We even tried it at the beginning. Tried to do that on the phone a little bit so we could hear one another. But there was a time lag, and it just made it so difficult to do that. So we just had the leader singing. He could hear his wife, and we couldn't. I couldn't on the live stream. Maybe you could. When I was leading singing, I think people could hear Victoria, but I certainly could. Who else could? I couldn't hear you. Sam couldn't hear you. Whoever else was singing couldn't hear you, leading the singing. There isn't that teaching and admonishing going on. We're told to teach one another. That's what worship is meant to do. Another thing worship is meant to do, 1 Corinthians 14:26. There's a lot of things mentioned there in that particular passage. 1 Corinthians 14:26, talking about worship. That's a worship setting. Of course, this is in the context of miraculous spiritual gifts. But he goes on and he's talking in the worship setting. And he says here, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm?" Singing. A teaching. Has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. And then here's the qualification. Here is what all these things need to be doing in the worship context. Let all things be done for edification. Edification. We are to, what does that mean to edify? That means to build one another up. So while the word alleluia, one another, might not be in there, the idea of edification is. We are to edify one another with our songs, with our singing, with the message that is being taught. We are to build one another up. There is an element of tearing each other down. But that's tearing each other down so that we can be built up aright. Because sometimes we have so many strongholds and so many barriers in our hearts. Our hearts are hard, and we're not willing to listen or to pay attention. And those barriers need to be taken down. That needs to be torn down so that we can be built back up and be edified. Be edified. We need to be taught, admonished. We need to be edified. That's why we come together to worship. We also need to proclaim. A few chapters earlier, 1 Corinthians 11, something we did just a moment ago, verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Oh, wow, that word, alleluia, one another, isn't there. Well, what are you talking about then? Who are you proclaiming to, if not to one another? When we come together, partake of the Lord's Supper, we're proclaiming to one another the Lord's death. He died for you, for me, for everyone. You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, can you do that from home? You could take the Lord's Supper at home, I suppose. And we did while we were doing all these things online. But the problem with continuing to do that is that we're not proclaiming it to one another. And when we partake of it together, it's not just you that's remembering all of that. It's you doing that with everybody else. Proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Yes, he died. He rose again. Certainly, we don't want to forget that. But the singular moment that we remember every Lord's Day is his death, because his death means your salvation. His resurrection means that he's true, that he is truly the Christ, that he is who he says he is. But that crucifixion, that death, means that our sins can be washed away. That's what worship is meant to do. Worship, or coming together, is also coming together. One of the things that we miss is bearing one another's burdens. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. What does that mean to bear one another's burdens? Well, he says in that context, if you're overtaken in any trespass, restore such a one. Man, sin is at the gates. Genesis chapter 4. Sin desires you, wants you to fall for it. If we're not here together, we can't bear one another's burdens. Certainly not as easily as we can, as we could, as we could if we were here in person. Let us bear one another's burdens. Fulfill the law of Christ. Man, Satan's a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, 1 Peter 5:8. He's coming for you. And it's so much easier to come after you when you're by yourself, when you are alone, when you just have a few people around you. If you have the church around you, we can rally around one another. Oh, there's that phrase. Circle the wagons. There we go. We can circle the wagons. Protecting one another from the evil that is out there. In that same vein, we see Romans chapter 15. And verse 7, therefore receive one another. Receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, what does this mean have to do with bearing one another's burdens? Well, we, in order to bear one another's burdens, we have to be able to receive one another, right? And we can't do that. It's so much more difficult to do that if we're not meeting in person. If we're not meeting together in person. Receive one another, bear one another's burdens. And the thing about that is, looking at verse 7, what's that first word we see in English? Therefore. Therefore, receive one another. Wait a second. What do you mean? Therefore. That means that's the conclusion to a statement he just said. So let's look at verses 1 through 7. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let us each please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Oh, there's that word again, edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be one mind, with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we glorify our Lord without being together? And with one mind and one voice. As I said before, we did cancel services for a while, but that was due to the present distress. We are gathered here now. The opportunity is for us now to gather together so that we can come together with one mind and one mouth to glorify God. Not only that, but we need to be like-minded toward one another. That's so difficult to do when you're separated by the distance of a live stream. Man, how many distractions are there in your house when you're watching that live stream? You know, I'm not that distracted by it because whenever I was doing it, I was facing my computer screen and I had my family around me. We were all worshiping. But some people only had their phones holding it out like that or placing it somewhere. How difficult was it to follow along then? Oh, I got a phone call. Oh, let's see what Facebook is doing. The rest of Facebook, because you're watching on Facebook. Let's see what there's something else going on. Somebody's not paying attention. Man, how difficult it is to concentrate in that regard. So difficult. Your mind, it's hard to be like-minded when you have so many distractions around you. Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. We need to do all these things for edification, receiving one another. That's the important thing. And finally, in this point, bearing one another's burdens. How do you bear one another's burdens? Well, that's involved in confession. James 5:16. Part of that is confessing sins to one another. That's not a thing that we enjoy doing. And there are several reasons for that. But it's so difficult to keep that on track. If you're not with other people, again, sin is at the door, and it's so much easier for us to prevent ourselves from sinning if we've told somebody about it, if we've confessed our sin to someone. And this passage says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Man, we can circle those wagons if we know about what struggles you're going through, both physically and spiritually. And we can help one another. And it's so much easier to do when we're here in person. So much easier. We need to circle our wagons around the people, especially those who haven't been here since this whole thing started. So much easier to do when we're here in person. Let us consider serving one another. That's a third thing that we need to do. We need to have that attitude of service. Let's look at John 13. John 13, verse 14. Jesus, of course, is just is washing the disciples' feet here, and he gives a command to his disciples. He says, If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, back then, he meant that quite literally, because that was something that they did back then. It was an attitude of service. For us, we don't wash one another's feet. Nobody washes our feet but ourselves. So how do we fulfill this command? Well, unless we go to pedicure person, I guess. I don't know. But how do we fulfill this command? We service one another. We serve one another. We help one another. How can we do that if we're not coming together? I mean, it was so difficult when we were meeting only online to serve one another and to help one another. We had to think of new ways in order to reach out to people. And man, that was not ideal, was it? Was it? And so now we have an opportunity to come back together so that we can properly and better serve one another. How can you serve others if you're not here? How can we serve you if you're not here? It's possible. But it's so much more difficult. So that's why it should not be plan A. That's the whole point here. This should not, the live stream should not be plan A. We find in Luke 22, in this same context, physical context, Luke 22, verses 24 through 27, that Jesus says, has some more words to say about this. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs is he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus is the one who serves his people. And any leader worth his salt needs to be serving the congregation in some way, serving the people there. So this applies not only to everybody in the congregation, this applies to the leaders as well, perhaps even more so. And if you're a leader in the congregation, chances are you're here. Or you're here normally. So thankful for that, that we do have that chance to serve others. Again, how can we serve you if you're not here? Again, possible, not easy. We also have a motivation in Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn there. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. We've been called to liberty, to freedom. But only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. We have freedom, but we shouldn't be using that to allow our sins to gain a foothold in our lives. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Y'all familiar with the praying mantis? And what happens whenever a praying mantis, after a female praying mantis, they mate. After a female praying, the female praying mantis bites the head off of the male praying mantis. We're not bugs. Let's not bite and devour one another. Instead, we need to serve one another through love. And how much easier is that when we're together? I know that's the constant theme of this lesson, but that's the point of this thing, right? That's not plan A. Plan A is not watching on a live stream, watching from afar. We do what we can for those who can't be here, for those who are our shut-ins, for those who are not local. We do all the things that we can to help them, but why add to that burden if you can be here? Why add to that burden if you can be here? Why do that to yourself spiritually if you can be here. You're not teaching one another. You're not being taught by one another. You are not, it's much less likely to bear one another's burdens. It's so much more difficult to serve or to be served. Let us do so through love. And we see that idea here, the idea here of circling the wagons here in verse 13. We have liberty. We have this freedom to watch on the live stream. I mean, that's a great thing, but don't use it as a cloak for vice, which is Peter's wording of that similar idea. Don't use it for an opportunity for the flesh. Bear one another's burdens. Through love, serve one another. It's so much easier to serve one another through love when we're here together. That brings us, of course, to loving one another. Love one another. John 13. Back to John 13, verses 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John writes this again in 2 John chapter 5, or verse 5 rather. He says, I am writing to you a commandment that you have had from the beginning. From the beginning. To love one another. To love one another. This is a command that, of course, we referenced that already. The idea that we need to, through love, serve one another. That this is the fulfillment of the law, that we love one another as we love ourselves. That's what we need to do. What kind of love are we talking about here? Well, there are several types of love where we find that word alleluia connected to, that love for one another. Of course, the one many of us are familiar with, agape, that sacrificial love that we share with one another. There is Philadelphia as well, which is that brotherly love that we need to have for one another, that affection that is translated in other places that we need to have for one another. And then philostorgos is another word there that combines two words for love in Greek, phileo and storge. These two words come together to mean a familial love that is so strong. In fact, both of them are used in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. Let love be without hypocrisy. Agape. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate. Philostorgos. To one another with brotherly love. Philadelphia. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. So in serving the Lord, we serve one another. That's certainly a constant theme we see in scriptures as well, which we certainly don't have time to get into this morning. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Have that brotherly love for one another. Let's come together again. And it needs to be fervent. Let's jump over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. In the next few verses he says, why? Because all flesh is as grass. Because the earthly things that we have here on this earth are temporary, are going to be burned up. And then he moves on and he says how you can do that in the first few verses of chapter 2. laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Indeed, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, that's just the negative aspects. Getting rid of the negative aspects that we have so that we can show love for one another and love each other fervently. But there are positive things we must do as well, and that is one of those things, coming together to teach one another, to show love for one another, to serve one another, and to bear one another's burdens. All this is culminated in loving one another. If you have a sincere love for the brethren, why would you not be here worshiping with one another if you're able? Finally, man, this love is a fulfillment of the law. This love is a fulfillment of the law. And we're at Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, that came up again, didn't it? Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. But preacher, you don't know what they did to me. Maybe not. Maybe not. But do you read anything about that in this passage? Is holding a grudge a good thing in Scripture? Is that showing love to your brother or sister in Christ? Certainly not. Certainly not. Not. We need to forgive one another. What does Jesus say in Matthew 6, verse 14, 15, 16, in that area? If we forgive one another, our sins will be forgiven. If we do not forgive others, our sins will not be forgiven. Man, that's deadly serious, isn't it? Let us forgive one another, love one another, and come back, so that we can share that love, we can serve one another, we can bear one another's burdens, and we can teach one another in true worship. I know that it is far easier to do all these things in person. I know we can do all these things remotely. It is possible, and we did our best to do that when we weren't meeting in person. And especially when we were meeting in person and people still felt the risk was too high, and I understood that. We all understood that. It's so much easier for many of us just to do this online. But it's so much easier for us to do the work of the church, to love one another, to fulfill these one another passages when we are here in person. Man, let us not make the live stream worshiping online, let's not make that plan A. Brother Adam Fawn had the concept of this lesson I got from his something that he had posted at some point, and he was concerned, and I'm going to list some of those concerns that he had. I fear for a great number of people, the live stream has become option A. He used the term option A for no other reason than it is just convenient. That to me is unnerving. We oversleep a bit, so we'll just watch the live stream. We stay up really late on Saturday night so we can sleep in and just watch the live stream. We have guests for the weekend, and instead of inconveniencing them by going to worship, we watch the live stream at home. We leave for a trip and catch the live stream or watch the recording at some point instead of planning our trip around our worship to God. Finally, he says, we worship in person on Sunday morning, but prop our feet up in our living room on Sunday night and watch the live stream because we're a little tired. Certainly some thoughts to consider this morning. If you are in need, let us help you. Let us serve you. Let us bear your burdens. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, now's the time. Now's the time to obey the gospel. Please come forward. Let us help you to do that. We want you to be a Christian, and we can do that by believing in Jesus, believing in what he's done for us, by repenting of our sins, confessing his name, confessing that he is the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of our sins. I encourage you to do that this morning if that's something you need to do. If you've already done these things and you need to make things right with him, man, you need to let us know about that. Let us bear your burdens. Let us serve you in that area. Love you. Let us love you and teach and admonish one another. I encourage you, please, if you have any of these needs, come forward as we stand and as we sing this song.